Amen. Can you say with assurance in your heart this morning that life is worth living because He lives? Amen. 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 There's no other source that we can count on. There's no other rock that we can lean on. There's no other thing that doesn't change, or person or whatever. There's nothing else that we can put our confidence and our hope and our trust in. Like God Almighty, who is not affected by time. And I've titled the message this morning, Time Well Spent. And I thought about, I was in one of my devotional times a week and a half ago or whatever it was. I felt led to share this message, and I was taken to Ecclesiastes, where it talks about a time to live, a time to die. And you can turn there. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to spend a little bit of time there, but I was thinking about the whole idea of time, and this being, then I thought about the daylight savings time, and I know that many of you would rather be in bed yet right now, and you got up an hour early, and I thank you for that. You'll get through it. It's not that difficult. It's 1 hour more. Make it. You'll be okay. Just want to assure you that. And I had a call this week, and a telemarketer was on the other end of the line and saying, could I have a minute of your time? And I'm thinking, well, you already got it, so what, you know? We use the term time, and we use it pretty loosely sometimes, like we were just killing time that day. We didn't have much to do, so we were killing time. And then we have the comment we make about, well, that was time well spent. You know, we spend time together in the Word, or we spend time on a good family vacation, or we spend time together on the sofa. That was time well spent. And I ask you this morning, as you look back on your life, as you evaluate your life today, and you look back on the things that are happening, I ask you this morning, can you say with assurance that it is time well spent? We know time as it began in the beginning, or as we have record of time, and we know that for us there's time. Everything is in the order of time, and everything comes and goes in its time. But I am so thankful this morning that God is not affected by time. He is not affected by time. He has no beginning, He has no end, and He goes on for eternity. And to those of you who are born again here this morning, you have that same promise that you have life eternal. That it doesn't end when you die. Your life is not over when you die. And I just this morning, I think it's so important. We get so caught up in life that we forget about, and we somehow just put it out of our minds, the fact that we are mortal. As human beings, we will die. Our bodies will die if the Lord tarries. If not, hallelujah. I'd love it. This would be a good day for Him to come. And if you're still here and you grow old and your body wears out, you die. My uncle, who's 91 years old, passed away this week. I come from a family. There was 5 boys and my mother and father, and mom and dad are both gone, and 2 of my brothers gone. There's 3 of us left. You see, life, if we don't come in touch with the fact that we are mortal, we live our lives carelessly. We live our lives carelessly if we don't come in touch with the fact that we are mortal beings, and our time needs to be spent well. Our time needs to be spent well. And I ask you this morning, this is to sum the sermon up, is since our time on earth is limited, let's make the most of the time we have left. You can't go back. See, I think so many times we live going back into the past and living in the past. And we spend a lot of time living in the future, thinking about what is there, or just hoping or just longing for what is to come. And we miss the moment. See, we have this time right now. I will never say that again. That's history. I will never say that again. That's history. You see what I'm saying? We have the moment. We have the moment. Are we living it to the honor and glory of God this morning? Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says in verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Let me read it again. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. It is no mistake that God has put you here today. It is no mistake that you came here this morning. It is no mistake that you are living in Lancaster County. It is no mistake that God has placed you at the place that you're working. It is no mistake. I believe that the Almighty God is involved in every aspect of our lives. And it's no mistake, there is a time, there is a season. To those of you who are young mothers here this morning, and you're saying, oh, I don't want to change another diaper. I don't want to change another diaper. I can't wait until the time comes where I can get a full night's sleep. There is a time, there is a season. And then to those of you parents who have adolescents here this morning, you're saying, I can't wait for the time I can understand them. And then you're here this morning and you have teenagers and you're saying, I can't wait again till I get a good night's sleep, not sitting up worrying and wondering when they're going to get home or if they're going to get home. And maybe you're here this morning and you have passed that stage and you're in the prime of your life and the children are grown and have moved out and you're saying, I just wish they'd come and visit me again. You see, there is a time, there is a season, and I want to challenge you mothers, I want to challenge you parents, that today is the day that you have the opportunity to speak and to minister to and to get involved in your children. Don't fill your life up with things that are meaningless. Today is the day that you have opportunity to share the gospel message with a lost and dying world. We have record of the time when Jesus came, when he was born, when he was raised from the or when he was born and when he was crucified and when he was raised from the dead so that you and I could have eternal life. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, it says, a time to be born, a time to die. We need to come to grips with that. That there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. There is a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. We're familiar with that. We live in a farming community. We understand planting something, seeing it grow, and then harvesting it. There is a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. We're familiar with that. We understand that when I was 13 years old or something, I bought a bull calf and raised him to 1,200 pounds. And so at that time, he was ready to be butchered. Okay, so there is a time where we butcher. There's a time where we heal. Like a horse that breaks its leg, there's no question. It's pretty much a done deal. He is put down. There is a time to kill. There is a time to heal. There is a the cat gets bit by another cat or something and gets infected and that needs some ointment and stuff. And I say cat, yes, I did take care of a cat that got infected. I took it to the vet. I paid $80 to fix it up, $80 to fix the cat up. Yes, I am not a cat hater. I just don't like cats. And it goes on in verse 3, it says, a time to break down and a time to build up. We see things that need to be taken down. There are buildings, there are bridges, there are silos or whatever it is that need to be taken down because they are no longer trustworthy. They need to be broken down. And a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the time to weep is not at a funeral. I'm sorry, not at a wedding. The time to weep is at a funeral. The time to mourn is at a funeral. You don't go to a funeral and laugh and dance. You go to a wedding, you laugh and dance. You go to a funeral, you weep and you mourn. You see, there's a time and a place for everything. Let's go on. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. Trust me, there is a time to throw away. We cleaned out my mother's house when she passed away, and I went home and I started throwing some things away. There's a time to throw away. There's a time to tear, there's a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And this one is challenging for all of us. The time to speak and the time to keep silent. The proverb says that when you address a fool, you enter into his folly. So I think that would be a time to be silent, a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So there is, as we see in this scripture, there is a time and a place for everything, as it says. And you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. I will take a little bit of time there as well. While you're doing that, I'm going to read Psalms 39, verses 4 and 6. And it says, "The Lord, make me to know my end. What is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor." Selah. "Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them." So again, just this here verse, this scripture says, it starts out with, "Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days?" Again, calling us to be aware of the fact that we do die, and there is an end. And back around about 2012, somewhere in that area, they made a clock that was supposed to calculate how long you would live. And it was sold for $99. I didn't buy one because my scripture, my Bible says that we do not know. And there is no clock. There is no clock. There is no website. There is no app. I found out there are apps that you can put on your phone that will calculate your death. Foolishness. Foolishness. We do not know if we have the next moment. We do not know if we have the next moment. Y'all maybe heard the story of the sister at Ephraim Mennonite School that at the spelling bee that fell over. Was it? 40-some years old. You might think you're healthy. You might think you're healthy, but you are not in control of your heartbeat. There is a time to live, and there is a time to die. Why do we live like we will never die? Why do we live like we will never die? Never facing the reality of the fact that our time that God has given us here is extremely important. And it's the moment. It's the moment. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise." See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In verse 15 it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools." You know, you probably can't even count the number of times that your mother has said to you, "Be careful." Your father has said to you, "Be careful, be careful." That's exactly what the scripture is saying to us. Be careful, be careful. Watch out. Circumspectly is to be aware of, to watch out for. Be aware of. Be aware of that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but what, as wise. Walk as, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Because the days are evil. The word circumspectly means to be skillful, to be on guard, to look very closely so as not to stumble. It has the idea of exactness, precision, and accuracy. One Greek scholar renders it this way: be constantly taking heed, therefore, how accurately you are conducting yourself. If you are walking on a sidewalk, be careful. There might be the edge of the sidewalk sticking up, and you'll fall flat on your face. See what I'm saying? Be aware. Be aware. Be aware of what is going on around you. And I believe the word that God wants to speak to us this morning is be aware. There is so much. There is so much in our culture. There is so much in our day that is willing to take your time, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Yes. Good things can be a time robber. So let's go on. Looking here, it says in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's he saying? He's saying because redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and he says therefore. So what's the therefore? Therefore. It's therefore because that the days are evil and that we're supposed to make good use of our time. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I believe, again, as we look at this here verse, as we look at verse 17, the thing that God is pointing out to us in this scripture is that if we are going to use our time wisely, we need to know what the will of God is. We need to know what the will of God is. So therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And going on to verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, one of the things that will rob of your time is if you're drunk with wine. Being drunk with wine is not a good use of your time. And I know that I don't need to say that to this people, but I understand that it is a temptation. It is something that the enemy will put in your path that it would be that you would just, people use the excuse they want to relax, okay? So drink a glass of wine to relax. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is a wise use of your time. This is time well spent. If we are to speak to one another, encourage one another, help each other on in this life, that is time well spent. And I challenge us this morning. I heard two brothers talking about how that occasionally here on a Sunday morning, there will be people where it just seems like they're busy and they're going somewhere and doing something, and they'll walk right past you and without a how to do or a hi or something like that. So I'm encouraging you again this morning as a body of believers that as we come together on a Sunday morning, ultimately it is first about Jesus Christ. No question about it. That's why we're together. But the reason we're together is to fellowship with each other under the unity of the Spirit. So when we walk past each other with places to go, things to do, and we do not give each other the time, you see what I'm saying? Time well spent is saying, hi, good to see you, Liam. Good to see you. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Another thing that is time well spent is time giving thanks to the Father. He says this, let's go back to, it says, therefore, in verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he goes on and says, and do not be drunk. He's saying, understand this. These are things that are using your time wisely. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Not just Thanksgiving Day, but being a thankful people. There is nothing more time-wasting than when we walk around grumbling and complaining. It is a perfect waste of good time. when we walk around grumbling and complaining and just nothing is right. The church don't do anything right. My boss don't do anything right. My parents don't do anything right. We walk around, we grumble and we complain, and we're agitated inside. And then we drive down the road in a 2,000, 4,000 pound vehicle. Agitated. Go figure. Go figure. Out of the peace of God, out of being thankful people, we will become witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful people. Being thankful. So it is time well spent. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And just talk a little bit about time. And there's a blog that was posted that was called The Most Important Skill in 2014 and Beyond. When the author returned to the States after living overseas, he observed that almost everyone said that they needed more money and more time. As he reflected on this, he realized that there's something even more important. In this day, in our hyper, overwhelmed, affluent, media-saturated culture, the scarce resource is attention. Attention. You say, what? Yeah, attention. What are you going to pay attention to? What are you going to give your time to? We are overwhelmed. John Piper says this in regards to that. He says, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not for the lack of time. Let me read it again. One of the great uses for Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not for the lack of time. You say, I don't have time to pray. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you can put there whatever it is. I'm not picking on Twitter and Facebook. I'm saying there are so many things that are robbing us of what is really, really important. Time with God. How are we going to be children of God if we don't know God? How are we going to walk? How are we going to obey His commandments if we do not know Him? If we do not take the time to get into His Word, into His Word. I realize that there are good blogs, there are people who have good ideas, but we must go back to the Word of God. Because if we don't, we will be misled. It is the only foundation that is solid, that will not be moved. We are overwhelmed with interruptions because of our phones. You know, we were talking again the other day just about how it used to be when, you know, I'd get up in the morning and I would go to work and I had no way of contacting Karen until I got home in the evening. Some of you say, whoo, how did you live? Well, we did. We lived. We survived. But we sat down at supper time. And we made it a rule in our house that at the supper table, the phone was off limits. And that was back in the day when phones weren't even what they are today. But we said, in our family, in our home, the phone at the supper table is going to be a no-no. If it rings, it does not get answered. So if you're trying to call me, I might be eating. That's any time of the day. But see, I think the saddest thing that I see is families sitting in a restaurant and they're all on their phones, not talking to each other. They're sitting around the living room. We had an extended family thing last summer where I looked around and there was one curled up on the phone. Other people trying to make small talk, but then the phone interrupts and is it time well spent? Is it time well spent? Can you look back and say, wow, that was time well spent tonight? We sat around on our phones and we text our friends, but we were together. Okay, I'll try not to. I'm guilty. I do the same thing. There are times that we're sitting there and we're talking and I get a text and I have to respond, or I feel like it. See, there I said it. Have to. have to. No, you don't. It's a convenience that we have. The question I ask you, do you have a phone or does it have you? That's the question you need to answer. Do you have a phone or does it have you? We're overwhelmed with videos because of YouTube. We're overwhelmed with music because of iTunes. We're overwhelmed with TV because of Netflix. And this guy goes on and he argues that the most important skill that we can learn is deciding what to pay attention to. What are you going to pay attention to? And I asked you this morning, how are you doing with it? What is it that you are paying attention to? Talking to me. I live in this culture just as much as you do. Please do not hear me as coming across as I have this guy, because I don't. I live in this too. There's a Latin expression called carpe diem. I think I'm not quite saying that right. But the meaning of it is seize the day. Seize the day. Seize the day. And probably even more than that, seize the moment. Seize the moment. So if I am to redeem time wisely, I need to know what the will of God is for me. That's the scripture that we see here. In verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is for you. And I'm just going to name a few things that we know is the will of the Lord for us. Here's a principle that is helpful. If you want to know God's will, then do the will of God that you already know. If you want to know God's will, then do the will of God that you already know. And we come and we beg and we get down on our knees and we say, God, I need direction. I need to know what you want me to do. I need clarity. But we never open the book and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? But we beg and we pray and we whine and we cry and we say, God, I want to know what I need to do. I need direction. I want to know your will for me. God is saying, I already gave you part of my will, at least, and you're not doing that. Why are you begging me to know what my will is for you when you are not doing what I have already given you? Okay, so to use our time well spent, to use our time wisely, here's a few things that we need to know, and I'll give you the scriptures for them. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be saved, and He wants everyone else to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants everyone else to be saved. Listen to the scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know without a shadow of a doubt that God wants us to be saved and he wants everyone else to be saved. So if you're going to spend time well spent, reach out to lost and dying world. We know, you know, that is something God wants you to do. How you do it, there may be some specifics that God will give you. But there are people God has put in your life that you're supposed to be speaking to and you're not. I don't know who that is. But we all have them. We all have them. So I can say that with confidence that I know that there is someone. See, he wants everyone to be saved. He has predestined us to salvation. It is our choice, and it is the choice of those around you to choose that. He does not force his way on you. It is a choice that he has given you. Number two, God wants you to surrender. Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Surrender, surrender, surrender. The world in you needs to be surrendered to Jesus Christ and the mind transformed. God wants you to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants you, number four, God wants, well let me, yeah. Number four, God wants you to be sanctified and to avoid immorality. Listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. You get it? It's the will of God. It's the will of God. Time well spent avoiding sexual immorality. On the opposite, time wasted looking at and viewing things that are not honoring and glorifying to God. Pornography. You want to talk about a waste of time. You want to talk about time not well spent. You want to talk about time, the precious time that God has given. Wasted. Number five, God wants you to do good. In 1 Peter 2:15, he says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good. Let me read it again. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So again, time well spent is time doing good. So that you may put to silence ignorant men and foolish men. Number six, God wants you to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These again, time well spent. Number seven, God wants you to delight in doing his will. Psalms 48 says, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. And I ask you this morning, is that true of you? Do you delight to do good, and is the law of God in your heart? How does the law of God get to your heart? This might become ancient. If you have one of these, hang on to them. Because we're coming into a time where there's a whole lot of books written. This one getting dusty. This one not getting used much. If you want to know what the will of God is, if you want to have time well spent, it is found here. It is found here. I'm not saying just sit around and read your Bible all day. I'm saying, what are you paying attention to? What are you paying attention to? What is it that you're paying attention to? You see, we have to, let me just read one statistic here. For example, back in 1967, experts predicted that by the turn of the century, technology would have taken over so much of the work we do that the average American work week would only be 22 hours long, and that we would work only 27 weeks a year. As a result, one of our biggest problems was going to be deciding what to do with all of our leisure time. In fact, most of us seem to be very busy. We're always in a hurry. We walk fast, we talk fast, we eat fast. We jump up from the table and say, I gotta run. We walk fast, we talk fast, we eat fast. We have so much to do. Technology was supposed to have done the opposite. We buy ourselves houses, we buy ourselves bigger barns, we buy ourselves new vehicles, whatever. And we have to work more and longer to pay them off. I ask you, is it time well spent? Is your family suffering? Is your wife suffering? Are your children suffering? Are your neighbors, your relatives, is your church suffering because your attention is on something that's only of earthly value? You see, whenever you fill your time up, when you fill your time up, you have to push something else out to fill it up. When I was running around a teenager, we got seven guys in a VW Bug. Now, those of you that are older know what a VW Bug is, and there isn't a whole lot of room in, but we got seven guys in a VW Bug. And the only way to get one more in was to put one out, you see. That's how it is with our minds. When they're so full, what are you filling it with? What is your time being filled with? And one of the most challenging things that was ever said to me early on in my ministry, when I was ordained in 1998, not that long ago, but somebody said to me that when you say no to someone, or when you say yes to someone, rather, let me rephrase that, when you say yes to someone, you are saying no to someone else. I don't live with a lot of regrets, but there are times that I regret when I said yes, and I should have said no. And it was for doing good things. It was doing good things. The only way that you can put more in is if you put something out. And I'm asking you this morning, your time is limited here on earth. We all have the same amount of time. We're all busy. We all have the same amount of time as it relates to in a 24 hours, a day, whatever. We're not promised to live. We're not promised to live beyond any time. But we all have the same amount of hours in a day. What are we going to do with them? And as a good Mennonite, right now would be the time where I should talk about launching into the evils of TV and computer and Game Boy and all that kind of stuff. I don't need to tell you what it is in your life that's taking up your time. You know. You know it very well. So my question to you this morning that I leave with you, was it time well spent? Was it time well spent? Was it time well spent? Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to look into your word. God, I thank you for the promise of eternal life. Lord, I thank you that this is not it. I thank you, Father, that we have a God who is not affected by time. Lord, that you have no beginning, you have no end. And Lord, that in you, in Christ Jesus, we are partakers of that life with you. Father, I thank you that when this body dies, when it goes into the ground, Lord, that it is not restricted by this time that we are in, but it goes on, the soul goes on for eternity, Lord, with you. I thank you for that, Lord, and we all look forward to that. Father, in the meantime, I pray for wisdom. I pray for guidance. I pray, Father, that you would minister to each person in this setting today, in this room, that we would be able to take the time to evaluate, is it time well spent? As we look at everything that we do, everything that we are involved in, Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for your strength. I pray, Lord, for the things that we can change. Give us the strength to change them. The things that we can't, Lord, I pray that you would still receive the honor and the glory, and that we could trust you in them. God, I pray that we would have a desire to walk with you, a desire to know your will, a desire to fellowship with each other, which is good time spent, not being drunken. Lord, of those things, I pray, Father, that there would be a heart's desire, a wanting to, and that you would receive the honor and the glory for it. God, we give you this time, we give you this day, we give you this word, and I pray, Lord, that you would use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to come and lead us in song.